This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One.
Twelve-year-old Tusen arrived in America from a Thailand refugee camp in 1986, clutching her treasured possessions wrapped in a cardboard box. Eventually settling in High Point, North Carolina, she worked in her family's restaurant for 19 years before eventually opening her own, dubbed 98 Asian Bistro, 5 years ago. Tu's restaurant has grown to become one of High Point's most popular dining venues, with 25 full and part-time employees.
For the first time of my life, I'm 46 years old. High Point is a home for me, and I never felt home anywhere else, you know.
Her life journey from a refugee to restaurateur is intertwined with a passionate love for the town of High Point and a palpable pride manifesting the American dream. I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer. Come along and join, too, as she shares her life journey. Afterwards, we'll visit with Patrick Chapin, CEO of High Point Chamber of Commerce.
The world comes here twice a year in the spring and in October. They bring about 75,000 people come for an economic impact of $6 billion a year. The challenge is those 2 to 3, 4 weeks a year is hustling and bustling downtown, and the rest of the year, those showrooms, the 12 million square feet we have of showrooms, are dark.
My name is Tita Tate Bisen. Normally people call me Two. That's my government name, Tila Tate.
And where are we?
98 Asian Bistro, High Point, North Carolina.
So this is your restaurant?
Yes, sir.
And how did you get into food, to thinking that you would open a restaurant? Is that something since you're a little girl, or what happened?
Well, cooking food is always a love and passion at our home. And we fix meal every day with my sister. And
the whole time you were growing up?
Yeah, the whole time we were growing up. And I'm more like a salesperson because I like to prep food and always think about what I could put on a price on this dish. And my sister, she's the master cooker, and she's my idol.
Is she around High Point?
Yes, she also owns a restaurant too.
So she can't come and help you then?
No, she cannot. By this time, as my age, I kind of learned everything I could from her already, yes.
So she was just a natural then?
She is, yes.
But you had to work at it.
I have to work at it, yes. Uh-huh.
Let's go back in time. You first came to America as a refugee.
Yes, sir. I came to America when I was 12, being 13 years old.
Where were you in a refugee camp?
In Thailand, yes.
So your dad was involved in work with the U.S. government during the Vietnam War, correct?
Yes, my dad, he worked for the CIA during the Vietnam War. That's how we get the pass to come in U.S.
So why and how did you have to go to a refugee camp? Your dad decided not to evacuate when the Americans left South Vietnam?
Yes, my dad decided to stay back in Laos. He thought everything would be okay. But when the U.S. government packed up and left, it changed our whole life, and he became a prisoner of war.
And where did you go?
So we stay in the village, the town called Long Chang, with my two older sisters and myself. And my mom was be able to build a trust of the Laos communist. And after a while, my dad, they let him out. But he's no longer the same person because he's been tortured and, yeah.
So you were, again, 12 when you finally came to America.
Yes.
And you wound up in New Jersey?
Yes. In March 13, 1986, they dropped my family off at Kennedy Airport in New York. And then we ride a bus to Jersey City and stay at the project with the Cambodian family about a few months. And then we have Social Security, and my dad and my mom both work right away.
Very interesting. So how did your life go from New Jersey to High Point, and how did you get into deciding you were going to open a restaurant?
Well, I enjoy cooking. I enjoy serving people. High Point is for first time of my life, I'm 46 years old. High Point is a home for me. And I never felt home anywhere else, you know. Just to the community here is amazing. They're very supportive.
You have your sister here?
Yes, my sister. We have a family restaurant. We opened in 1998 here in High Point. And we rent the building about 17 years. And the landlord decided not to renew the contract anymore, so they have to move. They moved to Greensboro. And I did went to work for them about 2 years. And it's always felt like my heart was empty just to dry away from High Point. And I want to give High Point all of me. You know, I want to try it, and if I fail, it's okay. But I knew that High Point is my home, you know, and I want to give the young kid an opportunity and culture of what I have to share with them.
So now you own a very successful restaurant.
Yes.
And the name again,
yes,
of the restaurant.
My restaurant called 98 Asian Bistro.
98 is because of the address?
No, 98 is the year my father passed away.
Wow.
Yeah. I want to dedicate that year for him. Because he's Indian, I didn't grow up Indian. And I want to be able to always, he know that this is for him. Yes.
Very cool. How many employees do you have today?
I have full-time and part-time. I have about 25. Yes.
And you have been expanding. You now have basically an event center space, right?
Yes, sir. We have a restaurant and the lounge and the event center. Mm-hmm. We'll be here October 17, will be 5 years.
So your mom and your dad, they became citizens when they came to America?
Not right away.
But they did eventually?
Yes, yes. Both of my parents are American citizens, and so is my sister.
So you were too busy working to...
Yes. My family always make me stay back and work for every occasion, and after time, you know, you work 6 days a week. I didn't really have time to study the test or anything like that.
So over the years, you've been relying on the security of a green card.
Yes.
Which up until recently was no cause for concern or worry.
Yes.
But now in your life, you do have worry and concern.
Yes. I thought that my life was secure since I was 12 till now. And I felt like as my parents already gave their life to the government and fight the war that they believe in, and now with the way they would want to strip a green card and take that away, and I felt that's not the right way, that's not the American way to do it, because this is my home. U.S. is my home. I don't have a home anywhere else. You know, I'm proud to pay tax here and live here.
Yeah, and hire 25 local people, too.
Yes, with the employee that count on me and, you know, to help build a piece of America. Yes, it is a dream come true, you know. Yes.
And your sister, she owns a restaurant, too?
Yes, she have owned her restaurants 21 years, and she have about... I think about 10 employees, yes.
Mm-hmm. In High Point?
In High Point, yes.
And the name of her restaurant is?
It's Tai Xiang Mai. It's the town that where our mom was born.
Mm-hmm. Very touching. Well, only because we're out of time and I have to go.
Okay.
I just thank you so much for sharing.
It's yes.
Very touching.
Thank you. Thank you for coming out and take your time.
My pleasure and honor. If somebody wanted to learn more, do you have like Facebook or where would you tell them to go to find out more about you? Do you have a website?
Yeah, we do have a 98 Facebook page, and we gave some of our story in there. You know.
And the name of the Facebook site is called what?
It's 98 Asian Bistro Facebook. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Perfect.
My name is Tirate Visen.
Thank you so much. What a pleasure.
Thank you. And normally people call me too.
I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from High Point, North Carolina.
I know you see me like some wide-eyed dreamer that just rolled in of a dusty Midwest bus. Yeah, on the outside I look fragile, but on the inside is something you can't crush. 'Cause I'm country strong, hard to break.
Come along and join Patrick Chapin for the rest of the story, a unique tale of reinventing and infusing a dynamic vibrancy into an American city. At one time, 60% of all furniture made in America was produced within a 150-mile radius of High Point. Today, even though most manufacturers are now based overseas, with offices in Milan, Shanghai, and elsewhere, the town remains as an international center where designers from around the globe come together for the twice annual High Point Furniture Market that attracts more than 75,000 visitors. High-end designers have purchased most all of the buildings in the downtown core for use as designer showcase venues just for the twice annual week-long furniture markets. Even the old post office has been converted to a showroom, and the downside of the designer's presence is that High Point's downtown core buildings are shuttered for 11 and a half months of the year. A stroll through the heart of town when the market isn't underway is reminiscent of a walk through a Hollywood back lot. There's no one home. We walked through the heart of town for two blocks without encountering a single car or an oncoming pedestrian. The town elders are presently in the midst of reinventing downtown High Point through urban renewal and redevelopment projects along the fringes of the urban core. The rebirth projects are attracting new restaurants, bars, shops, and incubator startups. An anchor project is the newly completed $36 million multi-use BB&T Point Baseball Stadium. In conjunction with more than $80 million worth of new commercial, residential, retail, hotel, event space, and mixed-use projects.
I'm country strong.
Patrick Chapin, I'm the president and CEO of Business High Point, Chamber of Commerce, High Point, North Carolina.
The reinvention of downtown High Point. There is no other town in America even remotely like this.
Well, we are the furnishings capital of the world, so there literally is no one else like this in the world. The world comes here twice a year in the spring and in October. They bring about 75,000 people come for an economic impact of $6 billion a year. The challenge is those 2 to 3, 4 weeks a year is hustling and bustling downtown, and the rest of the year, those showrooms, the 12 million square feet we have of showrooms, are dark.
Dig a little deeper about that reality, in that these furniture manufacturers have purchased basically 90% of downtown High Point, and they have repurposed the post office and whatnot to their awesome showrooms, but the rest of the year, downtown is a ghost town.
Unfortunately, it's a little bit like that. Yes, I moved here from Orlando 3 years ago. I thought, well, I'm moving to the furnishings capital of the world. I'd literally left furniture in Orlando. And I walked downtown, I pulled on a couple doors, looked in, and it was dark. So when manufacturing went overseas, we did get to keep our DNA, and we do showcase the biggest market, but it is an issue in terms of the vitality of downtown. So the city had a mission set about 3 or 4 years ago to create a catalyst project. Wasn't sure exactly what that was going to be at the time. It became a baseball stadium, and we in effect have created a new downtown. We moved an area about 3 to 4 blocks north, and it's actually designated no showrooms, but we're going to have lots of mixed use. And I can talk about the facility we're in as well.
We're in a clothing, a sock manufacturer, a hosiery former factory that was biggest in the world.
So we're currently in the Adams Millis Mill. They were the largest hosiery manufacturer in the world at one time. I recently read they produced 30 million pairs of socks for our soldiers in World War II. This happens to be plant number 7. There were several plants in High Point. So about the same time the city started thinking about this Catalyst project, Business High Point Chamber of Commerce sought a grant from the state of North Carolina Department of Commerce for $1.5 million. It was a matching grant to create an entrepreneurial center, an incubator, an accelerator type of program. We quickly raised the money, more quickly than we thought, and we had $3 million, but we didn't have a building to put it in. My board chair, David Condon, and his family foundation purchased this building we're currently in. This is a 100,000 square feet building, again, a former hosiery mill, and we're just about to start transformation, not renovation, because we will transform this into a hub of activity. The transformation will be about a $7 million renovation, and it will be a very public space, but will also be true to our DNA of kind of the creative innovators that we are here in High Point. Just recently, the Condon family purchased.
The Condon family, they're the owners of the Old Dominion Freightways.
Yes, so David Condon, who's my board chair, is the executive chairman of the board of Old Dominion. His grandparents started Old Dominion Trucking. It's now an $11 billion market cap. It is a public company, but they have been incredibly generous to our community, and they feel very thankful for what they've been able to do with their growth of their company, and they share that success with our community. So they've purchased this building. They just recently purchased a building immediately adjacent to us, so we'll incorporate that into a campus, and then eventually we will build an event center attached to that building. So we went from a $1.5 million idea to a $3 million matching grant to now what will become 225,000 square feet campus setting at a price tag of somewhere between $25 and $30 million, all philanthropic. And it's all being donated to the Chamber Foundation for $1 a year lease. So I don't know if there's a happier Chamber president in the country than me, but I'd like to meet them if there is.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible. That's, can't make that story up.
Absolutely. Feel blessed.
So part of auguring deeper is the why. Why do you do what you do? And looking in from the outside, I would like to think that part of it is providing opportunities for the up-and-coming generation so that kids have a future and hope here.
That's absolutely, and you'll hear Mr. Condon talk about that. I think if Mr. Condon, President Quibane, who's the president of High Point University, if that generation didn't step in and do what they're doing now, because there's also a whole nother redevelopment initiative going on in the city, we expect about $185 million worth of redevelopment or new development in the first 5 years, and we're seeing it come out of the ground right now. But if it wasn't for that generation, I don't know if it would ever happen. And David talks specifically about his three girls and his grandkids and how he wants them to stay in High Point. He grew up here, he loved it, but things changed, you know, in the 80s and 90s, and we're hoping to revitalize it. We also want...
It is revitalizing.
It is, absolutely.
It's not a hope.
No, you're right. You're right. It's happening quickly, and it's become contagious. It really has. There's a real civic pride, I believe. The baseball stadium has been a great center to bring people together, because I hear people in the stadium sitting next to me going, can you believe we're in High Point? Next season, they'll look out over right field and see this building with a $7 million facelift next to the factory building, which is already gorgeous, and say, can you believe we're in High Point?
Incredible, because in a lot of respects, maybe just the name doesn't have quite the ring of Greensboro. So I think there's a little loss of recognition nationwide just on the name High Point. You know, it hasn't ramped up yet.
Well, it's interesting because if you talk to people in the furnishings industry, and I use furnishings broadly, it's interesting to meet people here, again, during market where we have their business card says Milan, London, and High Point. So it's very well known to a certain population.
But it is niche. You know, it's
very niche.
It's fascinating that, and how cool it is. I mean, I'm in love with the architecture downtown big time.
And we're going to stay true to that niche. We're going to do what we've done well over 100 years and just accentuate that.
We've talked a little bit about revitalization of the heart of downtown. How about the rest of the town? Things to do and see, activities? biking, hiking, kayak?
Well, I'm an outdoors person, and one of the appeals of moving up here was just the natural beauty of High Point. The quality of life is fantastic. Lots of parks, beautiful lakes, but we also have to have things for families to do. We need restaurants. We need a busy nightlife, an activity center where people can come. And there's a very intentional idea that we have, that we want to create a place where young people graduating from High Point University and our other universities want to stay here. We want this to be the new cool place. So instead of going to Atlanta or Charlotte or Raleigh or Durham, that they stay here.
That's already starting to happen, isn't it? That ramping up of that momentum.
It absolutely is. We also have seen some transition from specifically Brooklyn, the Navy Yard. That was sort of a creative hub and kind of bohemian, but now it's become so expensive. Some of those young folks that were up and coming now are a little bit older and have kids, and they're saying, where else can we have an ecosystem of people, whether, you know, they're in the design, whether they're in the marketing, but they all know the industry. There's only one place. That's High Point, North Carolina.
Let's talk for a moment about your makerspace.
Yeah, makerspace is a very well-known word. We actually are moving away from that because that's a space that typically brings hobbyists into a space. It has decent equipment. It's sort of kind of rough in terms of, you know, sawdust on the floor and that sort of thing. We're actually going to create a prototype and production facility with the state-of-the-art equipment, CNC routers, the highest dust collection system, so it'll be perfectly clean. It will be adjacent to what we're calling our living room, which I've talked about some to you, which is our public space where people can come and gather and have a cup of coffee. So people will be able to see what 21st century manufacturing is all about. They'll actually see young people, craftsmen, building products that then we will showcase here inside this building. What they're doing now, maybe in their garage or in their barn, that takes them a week to do, you know, one piece, they could probably do four or five pieces in a week using our equipment. So we're really excited about that aspect of this. We want to create small batch production. We're never going to get mass production back, but we could create these opportunities for a single entrepreneur who has, you know, a couple neat pieces to grow into a small business. And that's one of our specific economic goals.
And do you have a website or a site where somebody could go to learn more about that?
Yeah, right now it's Plant7, spelled out, PlantSeven.com. We are actually now in the midst of creating an overall campus brand because we've moved from this particular building and doubled in size. That will showcase everything that's happening both here and in the surrounding area. But for now, you can visit plant7.com. We are going to be in the new Center for Innovation and Design.
And to learn more about High Point, North Carolina.
So another place you can visit to find out more information just on our community is highpoint.org. That's our Convention and Visitors Bureau site. And my name is Patrick Chapin, President and CEO of Business High Point Chamber of Commerce. Our website is www.bhpchamber.org.
Excellent. Thank you, Patrick. I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from High Point, North Carolina.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world.
Associate producers include Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Molly Blaisdell, San Francisco, and Katya Singel, San Luis Obispo, California.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided in part by the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. To find a St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in your area, visit svdpusa.org. Once again, svdpusa.org. And whether you're shopping for new or used items, donating them, or volunteering, you're helping the Society of St. Vincent de Paul help others.
Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Show me a woman that a man can trust. Hey, that
train that carried my girl from town. Hey, 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 hey. Hey, that train that carried my girl from town.